We're during the Ramban, Torat Hashem Tenima. We're up to page Zion in this Chazon Yoel edition. The Ramban had been discussing how without Torah, even if one could deduce that there is a creator, one would not be able to deduce what actions are positive, what are prohibited. One wouldn't feel like there is an accounting as to what they do. There's a book, there are many books that came out on dating, and being that I give a class on dating, so I read an overview of this book, and the lady even sounds Jewish, something Newman. And she writes over there a theme which I've seen often now in Western civilization in their books. Her bottom line is, do what works for you. Don't be bound by social norms. And it's pretty stunning to read how Western civilization has, they call it slaughtered holy cows. I would say they've made life be a no-holds-barred, where nothing is sacred anymore. So Ramban says, without Torah, we wouldn't feel like there was an accounting, and then we would also feel free to lead a life that was hedonistic. And you'd have a difficult time proving which action is more appropriate and which is less. What's considered good? Which times are more special? It's all man-made. The Torah says, I'll tell you what's unique. I'll tell you what's appropriate. As the Navi writes, Higid lecha adam matov. I'll tell you, man, what's good. Uma Hashem lokecha doresh meimach. What does Hashem want of you? That there's a tremendous gift in the system of the Torah. Rechashov belibcha. We're continuing with the Ramban. He says, think. Shehakadosh Baruch Hu bara kol ha-shefalim la-na'ato shel adam v'letashmisho. Ramban is saying something as though it's obvious, and it's not at all obvious. The Ramban says, think that God created this universe with all its creatures, all of it for the pleasure of mankind. So this concept, one could argue, is indicated by the blessing we make when we see the trees blossoming. There's a blessing in the month of Nisan, the Talmud and the Shulchan Aruch writes that when a person goes out and sees the beautiful trees, fruit trees blossoming, he makes a blessing. Hashem created a world that is lacking nothing. Hashem created wonderful creations and beautiful trees for the pleasure of man. So in the blessing of the that we make once a year, on the blossoming of trees, you suddenly see this concept that everything here was created for man. But it's not so obvious. The Ibn Ezra does not agree with this. The concept is also indicated in the Mishnah in Tractate Kiddushin. The Mishnah in Tractate Kiddushin discusses... he will bring the Ibn Ezra in a minute. The Mishnah in Tractate Kiddushin discusses what trait you should teach your child, what trade one should teach their child. So the Mishnah in Kiddushin says, have you ever seen any animal that has a trade? Have you seen an animal that has to be a blacksmith or a plumber or an electrician? The Mishnah says, and all of them were created to serve me, and I was created to serve my Creator. So certainly I should be able to make things work for myself. But that idea, they were all created to serve me, is an approach to the world. We live in a world where everything was created for the benefit of mankind. Now this can be taken in a cruel way. If one were to ignore the values of the Torah, then one could say there's nothing wrong with torturing an animal. There's a famous response by the Chacham Tzvi. Is it okay to go hunting? If all the creatures were created for my benefit, is it okay for me to hunt them? So he says, technically you're right. Just as you're allowed to kill an animal for your benefit, you should be allowed to hunt an animal for your benefit. But he says, is that the type of human being the Torah wants us to be?
You can't eat it.
Okay, but technically I'm allowed to kill an animal and use its hide, sell its meat. So what's the difference if I spend the time hunting it, or I just capture the animals and then I slaughter them and I use their hides to make belts and fur, and what's the difference? So Chacham Tzvi says there is a difference. Here I'm enjoying the animal's pain. There's the thrill of the hunt. And that, says the Chacham Tzvi, is not the type of person the Torah wants you to be. You can't say it's prohibited because technically it's within the confines of what's permissible. Technically, you're just like you're allowed to kill an animal. The Torah doesn't go into how you're going to kill the animal. So you won't eat the meat. You'll sell the meat. You'll use the hides. You'll use the meat to feed your other animals. Technically, you can't argue that it's prohibited, but, says the Chacham Tzvi, what type of human being are you going to be? Where the pleasure, the thrill is from the pain, the suffering, the fleeing of an animal, that's not the way the Torah wanted us to live. So this concept that the Ramban quotes, that everything was created for our benefit, has to be tempered. You can't just take that and say, so I can exploit everything because it's all created for me anyways. But coming back, says the Ramban, think that God created everything in this world for man's pleasure and to serve him. We don't have any other reason why God would create plants. Why would God create creatures that cannot perceive God? So then why are they created? They must be created for a function. So their function is to serve the human who can recognize his creator. God created man whose job it is to recognize his creator, blessed be he. So the Ramban, before we continue, the Ramban zones in on the purpose of man. Your children will ask you one day, Dad, what's your goal in life? What are you trying to accomplish? And you're going to reach an age, what they call the midlife crisis, where you will try to figure out for yourself. People go through these thought processes in their teenage years going into their 20s, and then they start a path, they chug along, and then after about 20 years they stop and ask themselves, wait a second, I'm going to die at some point. What will I leave behind? What am I trying to accomplish here? I thought I was on a path. Now what? Am I really on that path? Is that the path I want to be on? Am I going to accomplish my goals? That's when people have their midlife crisis. So they go out and buy a motorcycle, right? They're still young. They're going to prove it to themselves. And then they settle down and they have to ask themselves, wait a second, what am I trying to accomplish here? The Ramban says man's task is to recognize his creator. Now, obviously that's a broad concept, and at the same time it sounds like a limited concept. So I shouldn't try to feed a million children. I shouldn't try to educate a million children. All I have to do is recognize my creator? No. If I really recognize my creator, it will impact everything I do. But at the root of everything is, do I recognize my creator? Which is very challenging. It's very, very challenging. I got an SMS a few days ago. A relative says, we'd like to start taking on, what's it called? Mishmara. Mishmeret. When you have a set time that you're responsible for, a shift, where everyone in the family takes on a shift, 2 hours, that they're responsible not to say Lashon Hara. And every 2 weeks we'll do it for a different merit, for something else. So I wrote back, great, sign me up. So they asked me what time I want. I said, see what time's available and I'll try to match myself to that. Fine. So they gave me the 10 to 12 shift, 10 o'clock night to 12 o'clock at night, which is interesting. It's the time I come home. So that's the time you actually talk, right? And what ends up happening is you say to yourself, okay, my shift is responsible for this girl, a girl who has certain issues and they're trying to overcome them. Am I going to live up to my shift? And suddenly, before you say a word, you ask yourself, wait, I'm on guard duty. In these 2 hours, I got to be real careful what I say. Am I allowed to? Am I not allowed to? So until I took that on a few days ago, I thought I was pretty careful what I say and don't say. And suddenly, now that I have to think about everything I say during those 2 hours, it affects the rest of the day. Because suddenly I realize what it's like to think about, am I really allowed to say this sentence? It's not enough to have a general concept. Says the Ramban, our goal in life is to recognize our Creator. That goes for every sentence we say, every action we do. But if man does not know who created him at all, if a person lives his life and he has no concept that God cares if he lives his life this way or that way, that there are actions that are permitted or prohibited, and there are plenty of people whose lives look like that. There are plenty of people who have no concept that certain things are prohibited. Nimtza zeh adam kabeima. So then that man, well, he's leading his life, and he lacks the knowledge to be different than the animal. He might be in pursuit of what? Bechavanat priyato b'teila, and then the whole purpose of his creation. Why was man created with intellect? So that man is a reflection of God. Man can lead a godly life. And if he has no concept what God wants of him, so then the purpose of man was null and void. And we said the whole purpose of the universe is null and void. Now, this sounds obvious. Yet the more we can connect to it, the more it can impact everything we do. What job will you look for? What wife will you look for? How much money do you want to earn? Where will you invest your time? Where will you educate your kids? How will you invest the next hour of your life? How will you invest the next year of your life? A rabbi in Chappelle's once told his students, I don't know who, but a student who came here from there told me this quote. He said, every decision can be broken down into one question. Does this bring me closer to God or further from Him? Every question you face can really be boiled down to that question. Says the Ramban, the purpose of our creation, the purpose of life, is to recognize our Creator in our life. Shiviti Hashem Nenegdi Tamid. That's very difficult. But it's all encompassing. It's a formula.
This is basing, I just kind of touched on what we talked about yesterday, but this is basing on the fact that someone is born with into a group of people that have a comprehensive idea of what is God, and not a cruel God as in Molech or, you know, Baal's Moon or something. And on the top of that, he has to understand what God wants, and he has to want to do God's will. But he has to already be starting off pretty far.
That's what the Ramban is saying. You want to understand the greatness of Torah? Well, it gives purpose to your life. There's a separate question we grappled with previously. How do we justify billions of people not having any cognizance of the words of the Torah? Why did God do that? That's a separate question. V'zeo shamu chazal tamid, this is what our sages repeatedly teach us. She'ilu lo kiblu Yisrael t'atra yamachzir ha'olam l'tov avo. Had the Jewish people refused to accept the Torah, Hashem says, I would have returned the world to its destroyed state. Klomar, she'im lo ayu chafetzim nadat b'lilmod yediyat bo'am. Says the Ramban, what our sages meant to say is that if the Jewish people wouldn't want to know about their Creator, and this is an ongoing process to understand, to know, to connect our Creator, and that He cares that there's a difference before Him between good and evil, then the purpose of creation is null and void. So the purpose of creation is the recognition that God wants us to behave a certain way, and obviously behaving that way. You guys realize why this is so enormous? I'm saying there's a annoying question that we should have, which is, why does God care? He doesn't need me, He's whole. Why does He care? And that Ramban is not addressing the why, he's addressing the what. God appears and says, I care. I punish the Egyptians. I have demands of you. I want you to live a certain lifestyle. And that, that's a blueprint for how we live and grow. Okay, story time. In Manhattan, there's a subway that carries about 5.5 million people every day, to and from work, to and from school. The subway system is enormous. It runs into Brooklyn, it runs into Queens, it runs all up and down Manhattan. It's a huge subway system. About, I don't know, 25 years ago, I was in a car, and on the news, they reported that a cat had run onto the subway tracks, and someone saw that cat running before the subway. The subway was parked at the station, so the person ran up to the driver of the subway and said, "You can't drive that subway, you will mow over that cat." And the driver said, "Lady, I got 2,500 people here, and there's another train that has to come into the station, and there's another train behind that. You want us all to stop because there's one cat down there?" And the woman said, "All of you put together couldn't recreate that cat. If you drive, I'm suing. I will sue you for being inhumane and mowing down that cat." So the driver figures, why should I get sued? He calls the head of the station and he says, "Here's the story, should I drive?" And the head of the station thinks for a minute and figures, why should I get sued? So he calls his manager, and his manager figures, why should my head roll over this? And it kept going up and up. No one wanted to call the shot. Now, as this is happening, the train is standing at the station and not moving. And then the whole subway system was delayed by about 25 minutes because they sent someone down there to find the cat, or at least say that the cat's gone, like it escaped or whatever, so that they couldn't be sued. And what ended up happening was all of the radio for the next day or two was discussing, is it right, is it wrong? So obviously a lot of people said, all those people who were delayed from their jobs and coming home, they could never recreate that cat. There's a life down there. And then other people said, you had tens of thousands of people delayed from picking up their kids from school. You affected the lives of so many people. People were late to work, late coming home from work. You can't do that over a cat. And you could hear on the radio the emotions. Everyone's convinced they're right, they're wrong. When President Reagan wrote a book against the counsel of his advisors, he wrote a book against abortion. I think he called it Conscience of a Nation. And he wrote about what a fetus can do at different stages of its development. And he was arguing the case why abortion should not be allowed beyond a certain point in a baby's development. So the nation again started arguing vehemently what's right, what's wrong. They call it pro-choice. I'm sad to say there are countries where a person's allowed to abort when the baby is 6 months old. 6 months, why is that not murder? I mean, at 6 months, the fetus can live outside the mother. At 7 months, the baby can live. And yet, there are places where they call it abortion and then it's okay. So the halacha has guidelines. But when we read this Ramban about the murky definition of what's good and evil, we have to understand that these are the questions that plague us daily. Every few months I get a phone call. Someone says, I need a heter. Tell me that it's permissible to abort because it's not my fault. A or B or C or D happened. What do you mean? How do we view abortion? Can you just abort? Let's take another interesting example. When people have fertility issues, one of the things they do is they give the woman hormones so that she ovulates multiple eggs. And then they collect the eggs and they put them in a petri dish and they fertilize them. Now, being that it's not so simple to impregnate a woman with the eggs, they usually will fertilize 5 or 6 eggs. And then they put it in the woman, and they wait to see which catch. Now, let's say 5 catch, or 4 catch, or 3 catch. So they ask the woman, do you want to listen in? Do you want to filter? Meaning there's whitewashing, right? They don't say, do you want to abort the other 1 or 2 or 3? They say, how many should we let be filtered? How many do you want should come out? Wait a second, she's pregnant with 3. Right, but maybe she only wants 1. Is that okay? Where do you draw the line? Nowadays, people can get tested to see if their child will have blue eyes or not. Is it legitimate? At what point is it legitimate to stop the pregnancy because the child doesn't have blue eyes or does, whichever one it is? In the petri dish, once it's inside the woman, once her womb connects to the egg, once the egg is 40 days old, you know, at 6 weeks, it's not the size of a ping pong ball. The fetus is not developed to the size of a ping pong ball in 6 weeks. So is it okay? Is that called abortion? Where do we draw the line? A man came to me this afternoon and said to me the following story. A woman became pregnant and she decided she doesn't want to be pregnant. So she has a child already. She's going to keep nursing the child because that ups the odds of miscarrying the baby. Is that permissible? So these questions of life and death, evil and kind, these are questions which come up daily. The Torah gives us Hashem's system, and Hashem tells us, I'm going to tell you what's good, I'm going to tell you what's evil. But without it, things get really complicated. And these questions, again, they come up in everyone's life. You know, how many times have I gotten the question that people discover that their baby has all kinds of malformations? So, are they allowed to abort the baby? Because the baby has all kinds of complications. I have a good friend who had a child that when the child was developing, the head didn't close. So it seems that as the baby is developing in the mother's womb, there's a process that the face starts out open and closes up around the brain. So this baby's face just missed the last inch and a half. So he was born with his face open an inch and a half. And heart problems. So what do you do? So I was a youngster. I was like 18 when this happened. And my friend did all the operations. And today he has a 20-year-old or something son who looks funny, but he's functional. He's a functional human being. He has a life. So they went through many years of tubes and operations, but there's a human being, a functional human being in this world. Now, some people would say it's unethical. Why'd you let... look at him, he's suffering. I don't know that he would say that. I don't know that he wants to commit suicide. He's definitely had his hard moments. I mean, going to school couldn't have been fun. He looks different than all the other kids. I think he still has one tube coming out of him. One or two. But he has a life. So you'll say, will he ever get married? I don't know, maybe. Maybe he'll build a family. Maybe he'll be a wonderful human being. Maybe he's already an amazing person. What's ethical? Torah tells us. But these questions come up all the time. These are questions that people grapple with all the time. It says there, Ramban, Torah gave us a system.
Cat story. So when all we say, oh, look at the Goy, they don't have Torah, they even don't know how to decide the cat store in the metro. So we are Jewish people, we have a Torah. So
right.
How then we Jewish people would judge the case in a cat story?
Following
the Torah.
Drive the train.
Huh?
Drive the train.
Drive the train.
According
Why?
To the Torah?
What makes it?
Jump. Drive the train.
Drive the train. According to the Torah, just like you could slaughter the cat, you could drive the train. You don't have to detain people. What? If you had a way to honk your horn so the cat gets out of the way, so honk your horn. But if you don't have a way, so then you're allowed to, just like you're allowed to kill the cat to eat its meat or serve its meat to your dog, you're allowed to drive the train. You don't have to delay 1,000 people. Yeah.
That's a very good answer.
That's according to the Torah. But, you're not tormenting the animal. You're not allowed to torment human beings either. People have to go. If you can honk your horn, fine. But a cat is not a human being.
Right.
You have 1,000 people waiting, even when you're driving your car. So when you can, you avoid running over a cat. But will you hit the brakes and the car behind you will crash into you and who knows what will happen because there's a cat there?
Yeah.